deceived me, now here's a surprise. I know that you have, cause there's magic in my eyes. I can see for miles and miles and miles.
Hello listeners and good afternoon. This is the Out of This World radio program with your host Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW in Bellevue, Washington, on 1150 AM. The program focuses on out-of-this-world information, including psychic phenomena, UFOs, metaphysics, and predictions for the coming years in the Seattle area and the world and beyond. We will have only the best psychics and astrologers in the world on our program, and I guarantee it'll be the most interesting radio program you've ever listened to, as you will hear information here that you will simply not hear elsewhere. Today, we're very fortunate to have as our guest Uri Geller. He is coming to us. He's on the line. He's coming to us live just outside of London, England. If I may say so, Uri, I think, is one of the world's best and amazing psychics. He's had an incredible career, and we'll be on the show. We'll be interviewing him in just a few minutes. His website, by the way, is linked up at our website. If you click on www.outofthisworld1150.com, on the left side on the bottom of the page you'll see Uri's name, and just click on his name and you'll go right to his website. We will be taking call-ins after 3:30 p.m. and I wanted to give out our radio numbers. Our direct line here to the studio is area code 425-373-5527 or 1-888-298-5569. That's toll free within Western Washington. And of course, before I begin, I always like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including my dear friend Carol, who's been designing my website and providing moral support, and without whose friendship and help, this program would not have been possible. My dear friend Ann Nelson, business professor at Walla Walla Community College. My angelic and earthly family, the Quest Bookstore in Seattle, the Leading Edge Bookstore in Seattle, the Vajra Crystal Book and Gem Store in Seattle. Our upcoming guests include Dr. Helen Caldicott, 1 week from today. Dr. Caldicott has been twice nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize and is considered one of the most famous medical doctors in the world who's spoken out on the dangers of the Fukushima nuclear accident. James von Prague in September. Lee Moorhead in June, one of the best psychics in the United States who had her own psychic television program in New York for nearly 30 years. For information about these guests, please see our website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. Let's take a quick commercial break with Karen Winterland, and then we'll come back on the air in about 2 minutes with Uri Geller, live from England. Hello, friends. My name's Ted Marr. I'm the radio show host of the Out of This World radio program. We focus in on psychic phenomenon and metaphysics. We have in a studio today one of the best astrologers and tarot readers in the Seattle area, Karen Winterland. Karen, how did you become interested in this field?
Because I'm a control freak, like most of us. I need to know what's going on in life. And so tarot and astrology just answer those questions for us. Tarot is a present tense oracle. It talks about what's going on in life right now. And astrology looks at the big picture and says, am I headed the way I want to be? Am I being who I want to be?
Karen, how do people get a hold of you if they'd like a reading?
Show up at East West Bookshop every Friday, or you can email me at karen@seattleastrologer.com. Again, you can reach me at East West Bookshop every Friday, or at karen@seattleastrologer.com.
Thanks, Karen.
1150KKNW.com, your connection to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hello, listeners. We're back on the air again. For those who are just tuning in, this is the Out of This World radio program with your host, Ted Marr, on KKNW 1150 here in Bellevue, Washington. For those who'd like to call in later after the bottom of the hour, our phone number here is 425-373-5527 or 1-888-298-5569. Uri, can you hear us okay?
Yes, I can hear you okay. And Ted, thank you so much for inviting me onto your show.
Well, I've listened to you in years past on Coast to Coast, and you've just been amazing. The the times I've listened to you, I've always learned something. And I think one of the most incredible things you can teach people, but by the way, the purpose of my radio program is to raise consciousness in a positive way. And I can't think of a more positive person to certainly to bring on my show than you, Yuri. You've been really amazing in the sense that you've been able to show people how they can expand their mind to do things like remote viewing, use their mind for good purposes, and to reach the full human potential that I think all of us have. I think all of us on this planet are powerful spiritual beings, and we have a lot of untapped potential in all of us that is just waiting to be triggered, waiting to be tapped. And you have the gift, of course, of tapping into those amazing talents yourself, and you have a tremendous amount to teach people on how to improve themselves in a really powerful spiritual way.
Well, thank you. Thank you for that, Ted. You know, it really all started in Little Israel many, many decades ago when I discovered that I had a very strange or bizarre or quirky talent or skill to bend spoons with the power of my mind. Because we were so very poor, I had to push myself and believe in myself and become a positive thinker. I wanted my mother to stop working. I wanted to be able to buy her a television set. And that was the catalyst, that was the instigator to catapult me into the world of show business. And I look at myself today and I say, my goodness, how on earth did I manage to instill spoon bending into world culture? I might be sounding, you know, boasting a little here, but it's so strange because it's rather a trivial demonstration of mind power. And I thought that it'll be a fad and it'll disappear. But when I started doing my lectures and my shows worldwide, obviously I instantaneously became hugely controversial because there was those who just didn't believe, the skeptics, and I was attacked left, right, and center from the beginning of my career. But I knew how to take those attacks, or the skeptics tried to debunk me. Now, what they didn't know about is PR. They didn't understand, most of them didn't know how PR and publicity works. You know, there's an old saying that goes, it doesn't matter what they say about you or write about you, as long as they'll spell your name correctly. And that's exactly what happened to me. I learned how to kind of conquer the world with very strange demonstrations of, at that time I called it mind power. But then I very quickly diverted and I shifted away totally from the show business side of Uri Geller, and I realized that I can become a motivator. And I started motivating people and inspiring them to think positive, combining that with, you know, my act of mind reading, spoon bending, fixing broken watches and clocks and so on. It became a very powerful entertainment tool, but it became infotainment. So I also began to pass positive information to people. And again, I've converted so many millions of people around the world to think positive. I get around 300 emails a day. I don't do this for business. I try to instill or activate my powers into areas of business, like, for instance, finding oil for major mining companies and gold, which basically made me kind of independently wealthy. So money doesn't motivate me anymore. Mm-hmm. And that gives you the freedom to do whatever you want to do. And if your target is to help others, you do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's you've given the people of this planet such a wonderful gift, and I want to refer people to Yuri's website. And when you go to his website, there's so many interesting things on his website, but the one that I liked among many others is his little book of mind power. And he has, if you don't mind me mentioning this, you have your three golden mind power rules, where you focus on an angel for a minute. You concentrate on a shape of a heart for 60 seconds, and then you repeat a singular wish, and it will keep repeating that it will come true. And I know you've had experience in this, but it helps people. A lot of people out there in today's world are having a difficult time. Perhaps they've lost their job, or they're looking for new work or a new career, or perhaps they're having difficult in their relationships. But it's nice to think of positive things a person can think of to do to improve their life.
Very much so, Ted. I mean, I'm a great believer in the law of attraction. Mm-hmm. If you send out a positive message out to the universe, it'll come back to you. We're all energy beings. Mm-hmm. You know, we're frequency generators. We go back to 1924 when Albert Einstein came up with the most astonishing theory, which we all remember from school, E equals MC squared. Mm-hmm. And with that equation, Albert Einstein proved to the world scientifically that everything in the universe is made from energy. Mm. You, me, mm-hmm. I mean, look, listen to, I'm going to tap my telephone, the receiver, on the table now. You heard it. It sounds solid. But believe it or not, the table that I tapped this receiver on is not solid. Mm. It's energy. Mm-hmm. It's vibrating in a certain frequency that to us feels solid. But everything is energy in the universe, which means that an energy cannot be destroyed. Albert Einstein further went on to prove again that you cannot kill off energy. So the fact is that we as human beings, we are all attached to each other with an invisible, probably an invisible spiritual thread through which we can transmit the power of love, the power of positive thinking. Some people can transmit the power of healing and so on. Mm-hmm. I'm not a healer, mm-hmm. and I'm not a guru, and I'm not a miracle worker, mm-hmm. but I've seen incredible things in my life mm-hmm. that even today I have no explanation to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I know that you do is remote viewing, and I was just curious, Yuri, whether you had any thoughts on the Malaysian airliner that went down recently.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what happened. Let's just talk a little about remote viewing.
All right.
You know that indirectly, I believe that I actually set up the remote viewing program for the CIA. And that goes back to the early 70s when I was tested by the American Defense Department at SRI in Palo Alto. And actually, the reason we're speaking today is because the BBC in England, they produced a very amazing documentary called The Secret Life of Uri Geller. It's by the way, it's also on my website, and I urge you to watch it because it'll blow your mind. And while discovering my abilities in the show business arena, I was basically working for the CIA and the Mossad and other intelligence agencies for quite a while, for decades. So when the BBC exposed me as, you know, a secret agent, the very well-known writer called Jonathan Margolis here in England, who writes for the Financial Times, came up with a book called The Secret Life of Uri Geller. And it's more obviously extensive than the BBC's documentary, but it shows how the American government and other secret intelligence agencies used remote viewers to, you know, bring in information that they couldn't achieve mm-hmm. Through technological means and conventional means. And it is absolutely true that we worked very hard to get very top secret information for different agencies. One of them, and now we'll get into the Malaysian airline tragedy, a plane, this is in the end of the 70s or beginning of 80s, a Russian plane crashed in Zaire. It was a top secret Russian plane with very important top secret codes on board. Obviously, the Americans wanted to get the plane before the Russians did. But the satellites at that time couldn't detect the plane because it went right under the canopy of the jungle canopy. And at those times, the satellites couldn't penetrate that. So they got remote viewers, and believe it or not, they found the plane. And the only reason this got out is because this happened while President Carter was a president. When President Carter finished his presidency, he was lecturing in a university, and a student got up and asked him, President Carter, did anything quirky or bizarre happen while you were the president of the United States? And he kind of stood on the stage, and he suddenly said, oh, yeah, a Russian plane, a top-secret Russian plane, crashed in Zaire, and psychics found the plane for us. So amazing. Remote viewers are still at work, and the reason I think you'll find The Secret Life of Uri Geller, the BBC documentary, and the book so fascinating is because although most skeptics think or believe that the government doesn't use any more psychics or remote viewers, they're dead wrong. Mm-hmm. All that happened is that their remote viewing program went deep black, but it's still being activated and used. Now, when the Malaysian plane crashed, I got a call. I've got a request from a very substantial figure in Malaysia, and they asked me whether I could help locate and pinpoint where the plane is. I said I will try, and what I did then, naively and quite innocently, maybe even foolishly, I put it on my Facebook. I asked my followers to help me remote view for the plane, to find the Malaysian plane. Mm-hmm. And the press got hold of that Twitter, and they saw it on Facebook, and there was a backlash. I didn't expect some negativity out of it, but mm-hmm. most of the followers sent me amazing conclusions, and I deduced a very strong feeling about what happened, and I sent it to Malaysia. What I believe happened, Ted, is the following. I truly, first of all, I don't believe all the conspiracy theories of mm-hmm. that the plane landed somewhere mm-hmm. in Afghanistan or, North mm-hmm. Korea, or UFO sure. kidnapped the plane, or sure. it went into a black hole. I do believe that it was either the pilot or someone broke into the cockpit and they redirected the flight into nowhere mm-hmm. and they crashed. I gave details, I gave coordinates, and, it's up to them to do whatever they will do or did with my information. Mm-hmm. So that's what happened.
Interesting. Well, it's a tragedy, and it's highly unusual, of course, for a plane just to disappear like that. But I'm so glad they were able to, you're able to help them find it, Uri. One thing I want to ask you, I know you've done this trick before, but not really a trick, but you've been able to do this before. With people's old watches, where they brought them listening to your show and they've been able to have the watch suddenly work after not working for many years?
Yeah. Do you want me to try it with your listeners?
Well, if you want, that'd be fantastic. I actually have my old grandfather's watch, which hasn't worked in 70 years, and I, left it out in the car in my race to
get
to the studio.
Well, look, I'll tell you, let's do the experiment, but let's give some time for people to prepare their broken watches. So everyone who's listening now, I'd like you to very quickly go and get your broken watches, if you have one. Most of us have old, pocket watches that belong to your father's father, grandparents. You have some broken alarm clocks and so on. So if you have broken timepieces, go and get them and bring them to the radio set. And then when I come to do the experiment, I will instruct you exactly what to do. Now, people driving cars, obviously don't take your eyes off the road. But when we do the experiment, if you have anything broken in your vehicle, in your car, I will tell you exactly what to do to make it come alive or make it work. Obviously, there are no guarantees, but let's give all your listeners some time, a few minutes, and let's continue talking, and then we'll conduct this experiment and give out, after the experiment, give out your telephone number, and let's see if we'll get some calls, all right?
Okay, that's a wonderful idea. Actually, what we could do is in about maybe about 7 minutes or so, I'll put on a commercial break. That gives me time to go get my grandfather's old watch, which hasn't worked in 70 years, from the car, and I can bring it up, and we'll see what happens. What's the most amazing? I know this is kind of hard for you to probably pinpoint, but what would you say the most amazing remote viewing experience you've ever had, Yuri, of all these years?
Well, unfortunately, I can't talk about those.
Okay.
Because, you know, they are secret, highly top secret, and I can't. But let me think of a few things that I can talk about.
Right.
Look, when you say remote viewing is also remote influence.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget the time when Senator Claiborne Pell, who was then the head of the American Foreign Relations Committee, called me up. He actually came to my house a couple of times in England. And he asked me to help them convince and influence the Russians to sign the Nuclear Arms Reduction Treaty. I said, obviously, I'd be more than happy to do that because, you know, I'm against nuclear weapons. And he then sent Ambassador Max Kempelman to brief me in London. And we all flew to Geneva, where the talks were going on. I remember Al Gore was with me and some very important other American dignitaries. Now, my task was to get close to the Russian, to Yuri Vorontsov, and bombard his mind to sign the nuclear treaty. I know this sounds far out and kind of unbelievable, but it really did happen. And when you read the book, The Secret Life of Uri Geller, you'll see these things and pictures from that moment. But I got very close to Yuri Vorontsov, almost like 3 to 5 inches away from his head. And with remote influence or telepathy, again, call it whatever you want to call it, I bombarded him to sign, 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 sign. Now, believe it or not, Ted, the Russians signed. Of course, I can't take full credit for this because other people were, you know, helping with this amazing task. But there's no doubt in my mind that I was influential in getting the message into his brain to sign the Nuclear Arms Reduction Treaty. These are the type of things I would do. Some things were for the FBI to do with counter-espionage, and most of the remote viewing that I've done for different intelligence agencies, I can't talk about. But the BBC were very clever. But by the way, stop me, Ted, when you get to the 7 minutes, okay?
Okay, yes.
Tell me when you want to take the commercial break. Just stop me.
Oh, okay. Well, it'll be a few minutes, and we have a couple of people waiting to ask you questions, too.
Okay. When the BBC produced this documentary, what they did is they got an Oscar-winning director to direct it called Vikram Jayanti, who won an Oscar for a movie he did on Muhammad Ali. So when Vikram set out to do The Secret Life of Uri Geller, he somehow managed to wriggle himself into people's homes who actually worked with me. Some of them had ties with the CIA. And as a matter of fact, on the cover of the book, which is called The Secret Life of Uri Geller, CIA Master Spy, there is a quote, and the quote goes like this. It reads, "In my experiments, Uri was superb, astonishing, a superstar." And this comes from Dr. Kit Green, former CIA Assistant National Intelligence Officer. So, yeah, I mean, just imagine how much information there is out there that even with the most sophisticated technology, the intelligence services cannot get. And this is scary because although the national security agencies listening to us right now, storing our phone conversation. You can't send an email or a text message today without it being recorded and stored away. There are still big worries. The big worry is a nuclear weapon in a suitcase. That's what everyone is afraid of. And everyone is working very hard to stop radicalized terrorists from achieving their goal.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with you, Yuri, but, you know, your talents, I want to thank you, first off, for helping with the negotiations and helping influencing the Russians to sign the START Treaty back in 1985. My God, that saved us a possible thermonuclear war. And on behalf of everyone here in Seattle, thank you.
Yeah, but I don't look at it like, you know, you're kind of over amplifying it. I just never think that way. I'm an Israeli, you know. I was born in Tel Aviv, and I will do anything in my capacity to help my country and to help the Americans if I'm asked to do it. And that's it. I do it for ideological reasons, definitely not for money.
Well, let me just rephrase that then and just thank you on behalf of everyone who's listening to the show for your efforts to help bring peace in the world. That's something I think everyone can certainly
be
grateful for. I think what we'll do, for those holding, I know we've got a couple of callers online. Please be patient. We'll get you on here shortly. We're going to take a quick commercial break. Please get your watches, and we'll do that experiment here in a little while. We'll be right back.
Hello, listeners. This is Ted Marr, the host of the Out of This World radio program, and I'd like to tell you about Mr. John Ho. He's considered one of the best scholars in Nostradamus and has an amazing track record of predicting all the winners of the U.S. presidential election with 100% accuracy for the past 44 years, as well as being able to accurately predict the weather patterns and political, social, and economic events, both in this country and around the world. Every year, Mr. Ho publishes his predictions book, and we are very fortunate to have him now tell us about his latest publication, including his predictions for 2013 and 2014, including the Hopi Indian prophecies. John, could you please tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be interested in Nostradamus?
I have always been fascinated with the patterns of history, more fascinated like a doctor is about the patterns of disease. Try to cure the problem. One sees in the past a continuing repetition of the same mistakes in different costumes and different political and religious persuasions in different cultures, but essentially it seems the more we change, the more we stay the same. And there seems to be a critical mass of these collective habits reaching a singularity in the next few decades where if humanity does not break out of this cycle of repetition, the civilization is threatened. So my books, which are 23 and counting right now since 1987, published in 19 languages, deal often with futurology and the more subjective science of prophecy, the traditions around the world, of which the most important of these prophetic figures is Nostradamus, which is what I'm best known for on History Channel and television, as well as in my book.
Fascinating. John, where can people obtain a copy?
Well, this book is called Predictions for 2013-2014 because it is essentially a look at a period of time between May of this year, 2013, till the end of 2014, which is literally a breath of fresh air of reform can happen to limit the impact of quickening history, which is going to begin in the next 10 years to be some of the most upheavalful and disruptive and revolutionary periods that human history has ever known. And so we are in a period right now, and this book describes it in all the dimensions, from politics to religion to economy to global warming, ecology, and human consciousness, that looks at forecasts dealing with how we can lessen the blow of these quickening times that are coming in the mid-decade, or even avert and speed up the possibility of what is also often promised in the future as a more balanced human race, a more enlightened human race living in the golden age.
Fascinating. Well, I think your book is on point, and especially right now at this time in history. And listeners, I strongly recommend everyone to obtain a copy of this publication. It's nearly 500 pages long, and it contains so much information that we really can't do justice to it in this short commercial. I purchased a copy myself, and I think it's one of the best prophecy publications that I've ever read. For only $12.50, you can have a copy of the full work, or for only $3.99, you can obtain a shortened version.
For more information, please visit my website at outofthisworld1150.wix.com/outofthisworld.
For the people, by the people. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
Hello, friends. You're listening to, for those who are just tuning in, this is the Out of This World radio program with your host, Ted Marr, on KKNW 1150 AM here in Bellevue, Washington. For those who'd like to call in, we have a caller. We'll be taking you shortly, my friend, in about 10 seconds. Our phone number here is 425-373-5527. With us on the line is Yuri Geller, coming from by telephone from England. Yuri, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, and let's take the call.
Okay. Raul, are you there?
Yes, good afternoon.
Oh, hi there. Thank you so much for being so patient, and thanks for calling in today. Are there any questions you'd like to ask, Yuri?
Yes, of course. First, I wanted to tell you how much I'm fascinated by you, by your show, Ted, and it's an honor to speak to Yuri. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. You call in any time. We have some really good shows coming up.
Great. You know, I'm finding myself in a spiritual path. I think I've gone forward a lot, and maybe a little too fast, but I think that I'm purging a lot, but I'm still unbalanced. So I would like to know if somehow I can bring some more, the larger picture or some wisdom to what my next steps should be.
Okay, what's your name?
Raul.
Look, unfortunately, I'm not that kind of a psychic. I don't answer these type of questions.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that. But what I advise you to do or urge you to do is to get on my website and do read my little book of Mind Power. It's very inspirational and motivational, and I think it'll give you a good little kind of buzz and probably ignite your mind power to start thinking positive, and hopefully you'll know where you want to go. But Ted, these are things that I just don't do. I'm not a medium. I'm not a psychic that answers psychic questions. So sorry about that, but I'm sending you good positive energy in any case.
Well,
thank you very much. So back to you.
Well, don't hang up. Let me just share something from Yuri's website. And I'll just read this quickly. On his website, he lists his top 10 feel-good phrases. First, I'm a winner. Second, I deserve to get what I want. Third, I will wake up tomorrow feeling great. Four, no turning back. Five, that was then, this is now. Six, I have the mind power. Seven, I can, yes, I will. Eight, I'm doing this for me. I love myself. I love success. Nine, I feel focused. And 10, I'm an achiever and I get things done.
Exactly. And by the way, most of my books on my website are free. Free. So you don't have to pay anything. You can download them and read them. And yes, Ted?
Oh, no, go ahead. No, go ahead.
Yeah, the reason I'm doing this is again, because a long, long time ago, I detached myself from money. As I said, money doesn't motivate me. And if I can help other people by simply making available my books to be read free of charge, why not do it? Mm-hmm. So you'll find many other different books on my website. And I think you'll find them very powerful. Now, let's conduct this experiment and see what happens. By now, I'm sure you had the chance to bring some broken watches and pocket watches and so on. What I'd like you to do is very quickly wind them up. Although they are broken, wind the watches up, or the clocks or the pocket watches. And now close your hands over them, or just close your fist holding the watch inside your fist. Now, together with me, on the count of three, we're going to shout out the word work. Simply believe that by shouting the word work, something will happen to that broken watch or clock, and it'll start ticking. And we'll do it three times, and then I'll tell you exactly what to do. So they are in your hands now, and if you're driving a car and you're listening to the show, don't take your eyes off the road, but if you have a broken component in the car, focus on that and try to make it work. So here we go. We do it three times. I say one, two, three. You'll all shout work. One, two, three, work.
Work.
Ted, I want to hear you too.
I just,
again,
work.
One, two, three, work.
Work.
And the last time, one, two, three, work.
Work. Work.
Now, everyone at home, open your hands and look at the faces of your watches. If you have a second hand, is it moving? Did it start? If you do not have a second hand...
Oh, my God.
Then, wait. Then lift the watch to your ear and listen. Did it start ticking? Is it ticking? Listen to it. If nothing happened to you, don't be disappointed, because it doesn't happen to everyone. It doesn't happen all the time. But if anything strange or bizarre happened to you, please let Ted know.
Well, my friends in the audience, this watch has not worked in about 50, 60, 70 years. It was my grandfather's watch. He passed away in 1973. It's a beautiful gold watch. My dad had it for decades. I brought it today with me, knowing the kind, knowing that Yuri has done this before. So just this is the first time it's worked in at least 50, 60, 70 years.
Are you serious, Ted? Wow.
Absolutely. I see the second hand going, and let me pull it up to my ear so I can hear it. Yes, it's ticking.
So do let us know. Ted, how do people contact you? Do you give out a telephone number?
Sure. We've got a studio number here, but you can also contact me after the show as well. The studio number here is 425-373-5527. Or after the show, you're welcome to call me on another toll-free number I have, which is 1-888-879-8339. And I'll give that out again. It's 1-888-879-8339. My email address, for those who'd like to prefer email, is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, all lowercase.
Yes, and if anyone wants to email me, again, you get on my website, which is urigeller.com. And that's URIGELLER.com. And you'll find my email address and email me. I answer most of my emails. I carry two Blackberries with me anywhere I go. And I'm the one that answers. I have no secretaries, no managers, no agents, So I'd love to hear from you. And it's interesting how all these years, last 40 years, in the beginning, I thought, Ted, that when I did this 1-2-3 work, whether it was a radio show or a TV show, I thought that I was doing it. I thought that I was somehow sending my energy through space and time, and I activate those broken timepieces. But I had an experiment with Dr. Thelma Moss at UCLA in Los Angeles, and she asked her students to bring in broken watches, and there I was in the class, and we all shouted 1-2-3, and most of the watches started ticking. What I didn't know is that she was filming me secretly, videotaping me, and I flew back to New York, and 2 or 3 weeks after my departure, she invited a new set of students into the class, and she asked everyone to bring broken watches from their homes, which they did. Now, this time, I wasn't there, but the videotape was, so she put it in the video player, and she screened the experiment that she secretly videotaped to the students. Mm. And she told them, follow Uri Geller's instructions. Lo and behold, most of the watches in the classroom started ticking. Mm. Now, I was in New York, and she called me up, and she said, Uri, you won't believe this, but you just fixed broken watches in Los Angeles. And I said, no way. I'm in New York, and I'm not even focusing. I'm not even thinking. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that there's an experiment being done. Well, she said, yes, you did, because I put in the video, and the watches started ticking. And that's when it dawned on me, Ted, that all I was a catalyst. Mm-hmm. I was an enabler. Mm-hmm. I was a trigger to the powers of the mind of people watching me or hearing me. Mm-hmm. And it's that simple.
Fascinating. Just fascinating. I once again, friends, I want to direct you to Uri's little book of mind power he has on his web. And I've got printed off. He has a whole bunch of really interesting sayings on it. And I just want to read a couple to you. This is at under the title, If at First You Don't Succeed. Quote, in order to cause a shadow to disappear, you must shine a light on it. That's from Shakti Gawan. Another one is from Nikki Giovanni. Mistakes are a fact of life. It's the response to the error that counts. Obstacles are those frightful things you see when you take your eyes off your goals. I mean, this is just incredible stuff. It's another one is the journey of 1,000 miles must begin with a single step. That's from Lao Tzu. And from William James, act as if what you do makes a difference. It does.
Yeah, of course it does.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I remember again that we are all spiritual beings, and we're energy beings. And when we think, we meet an energy force. No doubt in my mind that there is life after death. Lots of people ask me, well, what's the proof? So beside believing in ghosts and the paranormal and the supernatural, you know, if Albert Einstein proved that energy cannot be destroyed, then one must ask the question, okay, then when we die, what happens to our energy? Right. What happens to our soul? What happens to a spirit? Mm-hmm. I definitely believe that if that continues living, it somehow goes into a different dimension. But life goes on and on and on. Mm-hmm. And there's no doubt in my mind that I'll meet my mom and my dad someday on the other side. Mm-hmm. Ted, do you believe in life after death?
Most certainly, Uri. My foster mother was a master psychic, and she used to help police departments here locally find missing and lost children. And since 1994, she passed away a couple of years ago, but she helped me contact the other side. I've been in contact with my dad since March of 99 when he passed on, and my other relatives. There's about 10 to 12 angels around me at any one time, and I've advanced. My spirit friends tell me I've advanced about 12 spiritual lifetimes in the last 20 years. Which has led to this program, and that's why I'm far more comfortable in the higher dimensions than I am in this density. But
yes, that I also believe in extraterrestrials and mm-hmm. UFOs. I've never mm-hmm. seen an alien, but I did mm-hmm. see UFOs. But mm-hmm. I'll tell you what happened. My most amazing and fascinating ghost story is to do with my mom. Mm-hmm. My mother passed away 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. She was 91 years old, and I always promised her that I'll take her out of Israel and she'll live with us forever. I live in England now 33 years. Before that, I lived in New York for 10 years, and she was with us all the time.
She's
my wife, Hannah, mm-hmm. We have two children. Daniel is a lawyer in New York, and Natalie lives in Los Angeles. And the kids were both born in America, but they grew up in England. Now, when my mother passed away, because I live in a small, tiny village outside London, I asked the local vicar if I could bury my mother in the local tiny cemetery behind the church. Now, we are Jewish, so I had to get permission. Then I had to get permission from my rabbi, and I asked him, am I allowed to bury my mother, a Jewish mother, in a Christian cemetery? And he said yes, because once they dig up the grave, it becomes a Jewish kind of land. So we buried my mom, and the rabbi gave me a telephone number of a stonemason, and he said he's a great stonemason, and he'll do a beautiful tombstone for your mother.
Mm-hmm.
So I called him up, and we put in the diary a date for Sunday morning to come to my house, which he did. He pressed on the intercom, and for some reason, I didn't open the gates for him. I don't know why. And I said, hang on, I'm coming out, because he came to show me samples of granite and marble for me to choose which color I'd like the tombstone for my mother's grave to be.
Mm-hmm.
So as I was walking up the driveway, I looked through the gate and I saw him, the guy sitting in the van. It was a small white van, and next to him sat his dog. And I thought, wow, this is the man. This is a great guy, because he loves dogs, and I'm a great dog lover. I had dogs all my life. And I thought, this is brilliant. So I opened the side gate, and I walked straight to his car, to the side of the passenger, because I wanted to pat the dog.
Mm-hmm.
So I get to this passenger side, and I look into the window, and I kind of motion him to roll down the window. And I look onto the seat, and there is no dog.
Oh, no.
And I kind of look around, and mm-hmm. I look behind. It was a tiny van, so the dog couldn't have gone behind. And I look at him, and I say, where's your dog?
Mm-hmm.
I just saw your dog here. And his face ashened, and he trembled. And he said, Mr. Geller, you won't believe this, but my dog died 6 months ago, and I used to carry him everywhere I went, everywhere I drove, and he sat right there.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow. And I got goosebumps now just telling you this story. At that moment, I was so shocked because I realized that I've actually seen a real tangible ghost, that I ran down to the house to my wife, Hannah, telling her, Hannah, I just saw a ghost of, a dog that was actually a ghost. And there's no doubt in my mind that my mother arranged this whole episode with a dog.
Well,
so that's my ghost story.
Well, I have one to tell you now, too. Your mother's right there with you. She's saying she loves you dearly. She's extremely proud of you, Yuri. All the things you've been able to accomplish, and especially to help humanity. So that's what I'm getting right now, is a message from her. She's right there with you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I totally believe in these things.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Tell me, Ted, about you and your parents, and how did you manage to create a radio show of this nature? How did you get the podium to do it?
I was directed to do this. I had. It's kind of a long story, but.
Tell it to me in one line.
Okay. Well, I have been in touch with the other side since 1994 through my foster mother, who originally started giving me readings back in 94. And then after my both my parents, my father passed away, he came through her back in 1999 when my dad passed away. And I was given the wonderful opportunity of getting a life review daily on everything I thought, did, and said. And as a result of that spiritual instruction, I have advanced. I'm told, my spirit friends tell me, I have advanced 12 spiritual lifetimes. If each lifetime is 70 or 80 years, I've advanced somewhere between 900 to 1,000 years. In other words, it would take 900 to 1,000 years of living on this planet in a normal existence to gain the spiritual information and involvement that I've gotten in the last 20 years. In the last 2 or 3 years, the evolvement has been very rapid, and I've been evolving at the rate of perhaps one spiritual lifetime per every month or two, depending upon.
How old are you now?
I'm 59 now.
Yes, and do you actually live in Seattle?
I live outside of Seattle. I live in Eastern Washington, but I'm in the middle of selling my house, and I plan to move to the Seattle area here in a few months. The program has become very successful. I started it last November. I was actually, my guides, it was, it's a way for me to raise consciousness here in the Seattle area. I've applied to several different networks, including Sirius XM, Premier Networks, and also Genesis Radio Networks to syndicate the show. I should hear in the next month or two on that. I've been told that it will get syndicated and go national and then international. We're also going to a second hour at the end of April from 1 hour to, currently we broadcast from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time on Fridays, but we'll be expanding to 2 hours from 2 to 4 p.m. on Fridays. My ratings have gone skyrocketing, and I've been able to get some absolutely wonderful people like yourself on the program. I try to keep it as very positive as possible because I think the future of humankind is very, very bright. I'm not a doom and gloomer. Sure, we've got some tough issues ahead of us, but at what point in history was life ever easy for humanity? I don't think there was ever a time.
That's true.
You know, our civilization always seems to have tough challenges. For example, you've probably heard of this, and of course, I don't know what all you've heard in England regarding this, but we're having quite a bit of problem now with the radiation from Fukushima reaching the West Coast here. And every day, the reactors at Fukushima pump out 450 tons of highly radioactive water. There's no end in sight. There's no plans to shut it down. And the radiation has just reached. Well, it's actually reached our shores, but there's a lot more of it coming in the next couple of weeks. So for my part, I'll be filing a statewide initiative to have the state here and the government here at least do some testing of the water and fish samples. The initiative will be getting filed on Monday. I'll be going live on local television here next week on that, and also I'm trying to get together a joint initiative between Washington and the other Western states and the province of British Columbia, in getting together a joint task force to offer the Japanese some help in trying to shut down the Fukushima reactor. I find it unacceptable that this water is being pumped into the Pacific and there's no end in sight. I mean, it can't.
Yeah, it's. I mean, that is a tragedy, mm-hmm. and you can imagine how most of the Japanese people feel. Mm-hmm. And the radiation, I mean, that will continue going down towards California, and you know, Mexico. It is just shocking. I read reports myself how many fish, billions of fish, are being affected, and you can actually, with a Geiger counter, see how high the radiation levels are.
Mm-hmm.
So it's great that you are you're probably one lone voice where you are, but everyone is worried.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm so glad to hear that you're doing something about it, Ted.
Well, thank you, Yuri. I was directed to do this, and I was told a few days ago by a psychic friend of mine that I have Archangel Michael on my side, and that the angelic hierarchy had, I'm not sure the right word is, had not chosen, but is that they're standing beside me and helping me out any way I can. I'd hoped to file it today, but I couldn't get it done quite, but it definitely will be filed on Monday, and I'll have a press and a news conference and go live on television next week.
Well, I congratulate you for that. Brilliant.
Well,
so look, we're coming probably up to the top of the hour. So what I'd like to just mention again to anyone listening, my website is urigeller.com. You'll find all my books free of charge to read, especially the little Book of Mind Power, which you could download. I urge you to please get The Secret Life of Uri Geller. This is not my book. It's been written about me by Jonathan Margolis, who is a British journalist who writes for the Financial Times, and he also periodically writes for Time magazine. And on my website, too, you'll find the documentary, The Secret Life of Uri Geller, which I believe will amaze you, to discover to what extent the secret intelligence agencies around the world used psychics and remote viewers to achieve certain goals that they wanted to put their hands on.
Mm-hmm.
And if you would like to email me, you will find my email address also on my website, and you'll get an email back to me. back from me. You only have to, you know, try it out, and you'll see that indeed I answer all my emails, well, most of my emails. And I'm sure you do the same, Ted, because you must have also hundreds of emails a month from people asking for help from you.
Well, I get the program, the ratings have gone way, way up, Yuri, and it's been just I'm learning so much from this, too. And the purpose of the program is to raise consciousness, human consciousness. And by being on the show today, you've helped do that here in the Seattle area and certainly and beyond. One thing I want to thank our listeners from Switzerland who I know are listening now. And Yuri, thank you so much for coming on the program. 1 week from today, we'll be having Dr. Helen Caldicott, twice nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize. She's the world's authority on radiation. We'll be talking about Fukushima. Have a wonderful week, my friends. Goodbye.
Ain't gonna need to tell the truth, tell no lies. Everything you think, do, and say.